want to start off just with a simple question. Where do the hopeless go to find hope?
On va commencer avec une question simple. Où est-ce que les personnes sans espoir, où est-ce qu'ils vont?
Where do the hopeless go to find hope? You see, our passage starts with a bleak picture.
Donc où est-ce que les gens qui n'ont pas d'espérance vont aller chercher de l'espoir? Le passage aujourd'hui commence avec une image assez sombre.
I'll reread it from verse 22 of chapter 8. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and feel fearful gloom. And they will be thrust into utter darkness.
Donc, verset 22 du chapitre 8. Puis il regardera.
Some verses. 22.
Puis il regardera vers la terre et il n'y verra que détresse, obscurité et sombre angoisse. Il sera repoussé dans d'épaisses ténèbres.
What do we see here? Well, we see a group of people looking for something, right? That's what we see. There's a group of people. We read them. It's the second word, they. We don't know who they are. From that verse, we would know if we read the earlier passage, the rest of the verse of chapter 8 and chapter 7. But anyways, we see a group of people looking for something. And they look around them on earth. And what do they see? Gloom and doom.
Donc dans ce passage, on voit un peuple qui cherche quelque chose et il regarde autour d'eux. Et qu'est-ce qu'il voit? Que l'obscurité et de sombre angoisse.
And looking around for something, we don't know what it is yet, but they look around for something, they see gloom and doom. What's the result? What happens to them? Looking around and seeing nothing but but gloom and distress, will they fall into utter darkness?
Et en regardant autour d'eux et en voyant que l'obscurité et le sombre angoisse, ils sont repoussés dans d'épaisses ténèbres.
In fact, we see it's even stronger than they just fall. They're thrust into utter darkness.
Et c'est pas juste qu'ils tombent dans des épaisses ténèbres, c'est qu'ils sont repoussés dedans.
What's going on here? I had about a whole page of notes trying to explain the background of the passage and who these people are and what they're doing, but I realized we don't actually need to know all that much about these people. We don't need to know all that much about the context to realize that we can sympathize with what they're going through. To realize that we identify with them. Because we look around for something, and all we see on this earth is doom and gloom as well.
On n'a pas besoin de connaître le contexte de ce peuple pour pouvoir sympathiser et empathiser et même s'identifier à eux. Parce que nous aussi, on regarde autour de nous et qu'est-ce qu'on voit dans ce monde? Nous aussi, on voit l'obscurité et les sombres angoisses.
See, I don't think we need to be convinced that we live in a dark world.
On n'a pas besoin d'être convaincu qu'on vit dans un monde sombre.
And it's dark because there's no hope for a better future, no matter where we look to.
Parce qu'il n'y a pas d'espoir pour une meilleure future. On peut regarder n'importe où, mais on ne le trouve pas.
You know, you read the first page of the magazine, you sort of say, you know, there's no hope here. I was talking with Océane recently, and I'll say this because she's not here, but I was talking with Océane recently about how important it is to read the news and to know what's going on. And she told me, yeah, but when I read the news, I just want to cry. And it's like that, isn't it?
On peut juste ouvrir un journal et lire la première page, et on voit qu'il n'y a pas d'espoir. Sylvain parlait avec Océane l'autre jour et disait c'est important de lire le journal, mais elle dit oui, mais je vois ce qu'il y a et ça me donne envie de pleurer.
But that's not the end of the story, is it? And certainly not the end of the story come Christmas time.
Mais c'est pas la fin de l'histoire et surtout pas en ce temps de Noël.
We are here, aren't we, to hear good news that brings joy, aren't we?
Nous sommes là pour entendre des bonnes nouvelles qui apportent la joie.
So let's read on to verse 1 and get to this good news.
Donc, lisons dans le verset 1.
Well, I guess in French it's verse 23, isn't it?
Yeah, verse 23.
There will be, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. That's what we read in the first verse of chapter 9, or in the 23rd verse of chapter 8, if you have a French Bible.
Donc dans le verset 23 du chapitre 8, toutefois les ténèbres ne régneront pas toujours sur la terre.
See, the picture changes drastically here, doesn't it? We go from, and if you read on to the rest of if you read on all the way down to verse 7, you see how drastically the picture changes, and we'll note something of that later on. But we see that there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In verse 2, we see that those who were in darkness have seen what? More darkness? Have they been thrust into utter darkness? No, look what it says in verse 2. Those walking in darkness have seen a great light.
Donc l'image change assez vite. Ça nous dit que les ténèbres ne régneront pas toujours sur la terre. Et dans le verset 1, on voit le peuple qui marchait dans les ténèbres a vu quoi? Une grande lumière.
So those who were in gloom, in darkness and distress, have now turned and seen something that brings them hope.
Donc le peuple qui regardait autour d'eux et voyait que les angoisses et sombres angoisses et l'obscurité, il regarde autour d'eux et il voit l'espérance.
And this leads the prophet Isaiah, who's the one writing this down, this leads him to break out into poetry.
Et ça mène Esaïe, le prophète qui écrit, à s'exprimer en poésie.
And we all know we only break out into poetry when we're going through very strong emotions, don't we?
Et nous, ça nous arrive seulement de nous exprimer en poème que quand on traverse des émotions très fortes.
And that's what verse 2 down to verse 7 is. It's a poem of hope from a man who's standing on the earth and had seen utter darkness, but now sees sunshine.
Donc, et c'est ça, les versets 1 à 6, c'est un poème de la part d'un homme qui a regardé autour de lui et a vu les ténèbres et maintenant voit l'espoir.
Let's read some parts of it together. We see that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as a people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder.
Donc les versets 1 et 2. Le peuple qui marchait dans les ténèbres a vu une grande lumière. Sur ceux qui habitaient le pays de l'ombre, de la mort, une lumière a brillé. Tu rends la nation nombreuse. Tu augmentes sa joie. Elle se réjouit devant toi comme on le fait lors de la moisson, comme on jubile au partage du butin.
What is it that leads Isaiah from the doom and gloom of verse 22 to the hope and joy and light and peace that we see in the verses we just read, 2 and 3?
Donc qu'est-ce qui amène Esaïe de l'angoisse et de l'obscurité à la joie qu'on voit dans les versets 1 à 6?
Where does he find great light?
Où est-ce qu'il trouve cette grande lumière?
Let me try to use an image to describe. Do you guys know what this is? Anyone want to take a guess at what this is that I'm holding in my hands?
Donc qu'est-ce qu'il tient dans ses mains?
Forms of the baby. Now this is maybe a picture of a baby, but it's not the actual baby, is it? Sorry for it. Hugh has it. Yes. Hugh said this is a birth announcement. Perfect. That's exactly what it is. If I read it, we are happy to announce. I'm not going to try to translate that. Nous sommes partis. Ah, non, sorry. It's just so small, I can't read it. Okay. Nous sommes partis à deux, à l'aventure et insouciant. Nous sommes rentrés à trois, des étoiles plein les yeux et le cœur rempli de joie, avec notre petite princesse dans les bras. We left two of us and we came back. We left the both of us full of adventure and no worries in life. And we came back, three of us. The stars in our eyes and our heart full of happiness and joy with our little princess. princess in our arms. This is a birth announcement.
Voilà, donc c'est une annonce de naissance.
Have you ever... yeah, sorry. Have you ever received a birth announcement? Have any of you ever received one?
Oui.
Vous avez déjà reçu un faire part? How did that make you feel to receive a birth announcement? We know how it felt for the person who received the child, didn't we? They were full of joy and they had stars in their eyes. They saw stars. Their future looked brighter, didn't it?
Donc comment ça nous fait ressentir quand on reçoit une annonce comme ça? Les personnes qui ont reçu l'enfant, ils ont eu des étoiles plein les yeux.
And Sophie said, it makes you feel
happy.
When you receive the news, doesn't it? It makes you feel joyful. It makes you feel a bit hopeful.
Donc quand on reçoit et quand on entend cette nouvelle, ça nous remplit de joie et d'espérance.
It's normal to feel happy when a long-expected child is born. Well, guess what? Our passage is also a birth announcement.
Donc notre passage aussi, c'est une annonce d'une naissance.
It's more or less the same thing as this picture and this envelope and this letter.
C'est la même chose que cette faire part.
Look at how verse 6 starts.
Donc on va regarder le verset 5.
For to us, or if some of you have memorized this passage in older English, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given.
En effet, un enfant nous est né, un fils nous a été donné.
We are told here of the birth of a child.
Ici, on nous annonce la naissance d'un enfant.
And like the birth announcement of our friends and family, this announcement should fill us with joy and happiness and hope.
Et comme les annonces qui viennent de nos amis et de nos familles, cette annonce devrait nous remplir de joie et d'espérance.
And so it's quite similar, this birth announcement, to the ones that we receive on a regular basis. Well, maybe not super regular, but from time to time. But it's also very different.
Donc ça ressemble aux annonces qu'on reçoit de temps en temps, mais c'est aussi très différent.
See, it's different because we usually receive a birth announcement when? When do we usually receive one of these bad boys?
Quand est-ce qu'on reçoit ces annonces?
After the baby's born, right? You know, they talked about going someplace, just the two of them, and coming back, the three of them. And we have the pictures of the baby, which is very hard to do before the baby's born, isn't it?
Donc, on reçoit l'annonce après la naissance de l'enfant. C'est difficile d'annoncer un enfant qui n'est pas encore arrivé.
Well, this birth announcement that we see in Isaiah chapter 9, well, it was announced 700 years before the baby was born. About 700 years before the baby is born.
Mais cette annonce dans Isaïe chapitre 9 a été annoncée 700 ans avant la naissance de l'enfant.
And it's different because it's also different because a regular birth announcement does fill us with a ray of hope. But this birth announcement brings around the sun of hope, doesn't it?
Et c'est différent aussi parce qu'une annonce normale de l'enfant qui naît nous remplit avec un petit peu d'espérance. Mais cette annonce nous remplit avec beaucoup d'espérance.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah. Put it differently. To put it differently, this child changes our outlook on life.
Cet enfant change notre vision de la vie.
And this even before he's born.
Et même ça avant qu'il soit né.
See, this is the difference between our modern use of the word hope and the Bible's use of the word hope. And you've probably heard this explained before.
Et ça montre la différence entre nous dans notre langage de tous les jours, comment on emploie le mot espérance ou espoir, et comment la Bible parle de l'espoir.
See, when we use the word hope, quite often we use it to talk about something that is uncertain. For example, this coming week, I hope it's a bit warmer than it was this past week.
Nous, quand on parle d'espoir, on parle de quelque chose qu'on espère va arriver. Par exemple, cette semaine, j'espère qu'il fera plus chaud que la semaine dernière.
Right? I don't know if it's going to be warmer. I kind of hope it will be, you know? I would like it to be, but I'm very uncertain about it.
On ne sait pas s'il va faire plus chaud, mais j'espère que oui. C'est quelque chose, on n'est pas certain.
When the Bible speaks of hope, there's nothing uncertain about it. It's sure it's going to happen. And it's so sure it's going to happen, it can talk about something happening in the future in the present tense, if that makes sense.
Mais quand la Bible parle de cette espérance, c'est quelque chose qui est sûr qui va arriver. Si sûr qu'il peut parler 700 ans, qu'il peut en parler 700 ans en avance.
Because you caught that, right? For to us a child is born. There wasn't actually a child born that day when Isaiah wrote that prophecy or that poem.
C'est tellement sûr que c'est écrit au présent. Un enfant nous est né. Alors, ce jour-là, quand Isaïe a écrit, l'enfant n'était pas encore né.
And after, having heard of that child's birth, the people who hear the announcement of the child's birth now, though they were walking in darkness, feel like they're walking in light. Though they could only see distress, they rejoice like farmers after a plentiful harvest. And though they could only see fearful gloom, they're now like warriors sharing plunder and celebrating the end of tyranny.
Donc ce peuple qui marchait dans les ténèbres, en entendant cette annonce, maintenant ils marchent dans la lumière. Ils regardaient autour d'eux, ils voyaient que l'obscurité, maintenant ils voient la joie.
But who is this child?
Mais qui est cet enfant?
Do we know, does God's word shed any light to who this person is with any certainty?
Est-ce que la parole de Dieu nous illumine sur l'identité de cet enfant?
Well, if you turn to Matthew chapter 4,
si vous regardez dans Matthieu chapitre 4,
verse 13 to 17,
versets 13 à 17,
we see there the beginning of Jesus' public ministry.
On voit le début du ministère de Jésus.
Right? And I'll read it out in English. I'm not going to ask Catherine to read it in French because I think you would have your French Bibles with you so you can follow along in French. It'll make things a bit easier, I think, for her.
Donc vous pouvez suivre dans vos Bibles en français. Matthieu 4, versets 13 à 17.
But see if you hear anything familiar. Leaving Nazareth, he, meaning Jesus, went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Sound familiar?
Est-ce que vous entendez la similitude?
See, Jesus here fulfills, and Matthew is sure to note this down, he fulfills what we read in Isaiah chapter 9. This passage makes reference to Isaiah 9, verse 1 and 2.
Donc dans ce passage, Matthieu il fait référence à Ésaïe et il montre que Jésus est venu pour accomplir ce qui est écrit dans Ésaïe.
And in quoting this passage, what Matthew is saying is that Jesus is the Son who is born. He's the one who brings great light to those walking in darkness. And he does that when he walks in the land that is referred to in verse 1 of chapter 9.
Donc en citant le passage dans Ésaïe, Matthieu est en train de dire que Jésus est l'enfant qui est né et qui apporte cette lumière.
And the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talks about is the same kingdom that is described in verses 5 down to 7.
Et le royaume des cieux dont Jésus parle est le même royaume qui est écrit dans les versets 6 à 6.
So Jesus is the one who is born and brings us great hope. And it's his birth that brings us great hope. That's why we're going to spend the whole month of December thinking through or looking forward or looking backwards, really, because it happened in our past, their future, our past. But celebrating and remembering Christ's birth.
Donc Jésus est celui qui apporte cette espérance et cette lumière. Et c'est pour ça qu'au mois de décembre, on va regarder en arrière et voir un peu ce cheminement.
And Jesus here is the king of the kingdom that he's talking about.
Et ici, Jésus, il est le roi du royaume dont il parle.
And what we're going to do this evening is we're going to look at several ways in which his kingdom brings hope in a world of gloom.
Donc ce soir, nous allons regarder les différentes manières dont ce royaume de Jésus apporte de l'espoir dans un monde de ténèbres.
First, we see that his kingdom promises the end of warfare.
Premièrement, on voit que son royaume promet la fin de la guerre.
We see that in verse 5 of chapter 9 of Isaiah.
On voit ça dans le verset 4.
Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Look, you don't throw away your boots for battle or your battle clothes if you expect war in the future, do you?
Donc verset 4, toutes chaussures portées dans la bataille et tout habit roulé dans le sang seront livrées aux flammes pour être réduits en cendres. On ne jette pas ses bottes de guerre si on va refaire une guerre.
Here, Jesus, well, we see that the promises, the kingdom, the government of this son will bring about a world of full and complete peace, no warfare. And this is no small claim. Think about it. How many years of peace have we, as a race, has humanity experienced? Does anyone know? How many years of peace have there been in our history?
Donc ce royaume promet la paix ultime. Et c'est une grande déclaration à faire parce que est-ce qu'on sait, vous savez combien d'années on a eu la paix dans la terre?
Does anyone know? I'm genuinely curious if you guys have heard anything about this. Any statistics or any sort of thing. Maybe those in middle school, high school, or university, because you guys are the smart ones, you would know. Oh, you saw the same thing I did. Look at that. Yeah, I did a bit of research on this, and I found one unsubstantiated claim that of the past 3,400 years, there have been, the humans have been entirely at peace for 268 of them.
Donc, apparemment, dans les 3400 ans qu'on a existé, les humains ont eu la paix pendant 286 ans en total.
I don't know if the claim is that we've existed for only 3,400 years, but I think it was the data that they could get. Which would have been 8%. Well, this is where they got the data from. This would be 8% of recorded history. Can you imagine that? Out of our recorded history, the most optimistic claim I found says that we've been at peace for 8% of it.
Donc, depuis le début de l'histoire connue, c'est que 8% du temps où on a eu la paix.
And this claim was in a New York Times article in 2003, and no one could track down sort of where that person was quoting it from.
Et c'était cité dans un article de américaine, donc on ne sait pas trop où ils ont trouvé leur source.
But let that sink in. As a race, we have been more or less at war constantly and continually.
Mais ça nous montre qu'en tant que race humaine, on a eu la guerre constamment.
Can you imagine that? We're always in conflict with one another.
Vous imaginez, on fait tout le temps la guerre les uns avec les autres.
Now, there have been about three periods of relative peace in our history, known as the Pax Romana, Pax Britannica, and Pax Americana, which is really the time of the Roman Empire, the time of the British Empire, the time of the American Empire, which some people call the Long Peace, to not be politically incorrect.
Donc, dans l'histoire, il y a eu trois grandes périodes de paix, donc la Pax Romana, la Pax Britannica et la Pax Americana. Donc, c'est pendant l'Empire romain, l'Empire britannique et maintenant l'Empire américain.
The Long Peace, which would be the American Empire, is just the period between the end of World War II to today, where there haven't been any massive war on a large scale.
Et la paix americana, c'est la fin de la Deuxième Guerre mondiale jusqu'à aujourd'hui, où pour le moment on n'a pas eu de guerre mondiale.
But the thing about that is, even though there was no big war, there were no big wars, there was still conflict everywhere. Because you'd kind of think, well, what's a long peace? There's a war in Ukraine and there's a war in Israel now. How's that long peace?
Mais malgré le fait qu'il n'y a pas eu de guerre mondiale, il y a quand même la guerre, on voit en Ukraine ou en Israël.
And not only that, but during these periods of relative peace, no one felt at peace enough to destroy their armor, or to destroy their weapons, or to destroy all that they would need to go to war. They were still prepared for future conflict.
Et aussi, pendant ces temps, on n'a pas détruit nos armées ou nos armes. On les a gardées.
But here, the reign of Christ promises world peace. Peace enough for us to destroy our weapons. For us to no longer fear any coming conflict.
Mais ici, le règne de Jésus promet la fin de la guerre et une paix sans fin.
That's a claim that's so marvelous, so wonderful, we can't even imagine it.
C'est une déclaration si formidable qu'on ne peut même pas imaginer.
Because we can't imagine a world without conflict.
Parce qu'on ne peut pas imaginer un monde sans conflit.
Secondly, Jesus as king, as ruler, well, he carries the weight of the government on his shoulders. And we see that in verse 6. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
Ensuite, on voit dans ce royaume que c'est Jésus qui porte la souveraineté sur ses épaules. On voit dans le verset 5, un enfant nous est né, un fils nous est donné, et la souveraineté reposera sur son épaule.
I think this is important to note because there's such a thing as the burden of rule. The burden of rule.
Ah, et c'est important de le noter parce que ça existe le fardeau de la souveraineté.
I guess kind of. What I mean by that is one person, a French person once asked me, he asked me this kind of jokingly, but there's a bit of truth behind it too. But a French person asked me, said, Sivan, do you know who the most hated person in France is?
Donc, à un moment, un ami a demandé à Sylvain, est-ce que tu sais la personne la plus détestée de la France?
No, I kind of thought, no, I don't really know. Do you guys know? Do you know who the most hated person in France is?
Est-ce que vous savez qui est la personne la plus détestée de la France?
Yeah. I said, I didn't know. And they responded a bit jokingly. Well, the president. It's always the president and always will be the president. The president is the most hated man in France.
Donc c'est le président. Le président est toujours la personne la plus détestée de la France, du pays.
And apparently, historically, the people running for presidents, their favor increases in the polls, in the polls, in the polls, and people enjoy them and look forward to them. They are voted in by majority vote, aren't they? So someone has to like them. But then, right when they're elected president, guess what? Plummets.
Et avant de se faire élire président, ils sont plutôt favorables aux opinions du président. Et dès qu'ils deviennent président, ça baisse, ça descend.
It's just because we don't like people in authority, do we?
En fait, on n'aime pas les gens qui ont de l'autorité.
And we don't like them because we don't think they can rule well.
Et on les aime pas parce qu'on pense pas qu'ils savent bien régner.
And we don't think they can rule well. Well, because we suffer, and we blame them.
Et on pense qu'ils ne savent pas bien régner parce que nous, on souffre et on pense que c'est de leur faute.
And, you know, it kind of is. And that's the burden of rule, knowing that decisions you make will impact the people under you.
Et c'est ça le fardeau de la souveraineté, c'est de savoir que les décisions que toi, tu vas prendre vont impacter les gens qui sont sous toi.
And for most of our presidents and most of our kings in our history, when someone has taken upon themselves the burden of rule, well, it's placed an added burden on the backs of those under him.
Et on l'a vu souvent dans l'histoire avec les rois et les présidents, dès que quelqu'un prend le fardeau, le poids de la souveraineté sur ses épaules, ça ajoute encore un poids sur les personnes dessous.
But when Christ takes the government on his shoulders, the burden on our backs is broken and lifted and done away with.
Mais quand c'est Jésus qui prend le fardeau de la souveraineté sur ses épaules, nos fardeaux sont soulevés.
We see that in verse 4. The yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, has been shattered by the Son. And we know it's been shattered by the Son when he's taken the government on his shoulders.
On le voit dans le verset 3. En effet, le fardeau qui pesait sur elle, le gourdin qui frappait son dos, le bâton de celui qui l'opprimait, tu les brises comme tu l'as fait lors de la victoire.
But what makes this government, his government, so great? Why is it that his rule can do away with our burdens?
Mais qu'est-ce qui fait que le gouvernement de Jésus est si grand? Comment ça se fait que son règne enlève nos fardeaux?
Another way of asking the question is, what's his party manifesto? What's his party program? What's his party platform? What sort of policies will he bring, this king, this Christ?
Quel est son programme politique qu'il amène?
Well, we see it in the four names that we read in verse 6.
Donc on les voit dans les quatre noms qu'on voit dans le verset 5.
See, names in the Bible are incredibly important. And here, in Isaiah, they're even more important. Because they do as much as characterize Christ's rule as they do characterize Christ's person.
Les noms dans la Bible sont très importants, et surtout dans ce passage, parce que ces quatre noms qu'on va voir décrivent non seulement le règne de Jésus, mais aussi son caractère.
And so we're going to briefly and quickly just look a bit at these four names. And these are four reasons why Christ's government brings us hope.
Donc on va regarder ces quatre noms et on va voir que ce sont quatre raisons pourquoi ce gouvernement nous apporte l'espérance.
First off, what's the first name? Christ is, he shall be called
Wonderful Counselor.
Donc le premier, c'est Merveilleux Conseiller.
So this means that the government of Christ will be characterized by out of ordinary wisdom.
Ça veut dire que le gouvernement de Christ va être caractérisé par une sagesse hors de l'ordinaire.
See, when we use the word wonderful, we mean something that's great or, you know, awesome or cool, don't we? Look, that's wonderful.
Quand on dit que quelque chose est merveilleux, ça veut dire que c'est chouette, c'est cool.
When the Bible uses the word wonderful, it's referring to something that's extraordinary or supernatural.
Mais quand la Bible parle de quelque chose de merveilleux, il parle de quelque chose qui est hors de l'ordinaire.
So it is great and awesome and cool, but to a supernatural degree, to a divine degree.
Donc c'est chouette et c'est cool, mais à une échelle divine.
And Christ will be a counselor that is extraordinary. See, in ancient Israel, great kings had great advisors. Think of David, who had a guy named Ahithophel as counselor. And he was such a great advisor and a counselor that what he said was considered to be God's word, almost. And you can read that in 2 Samuel verse 16, chapter 16, verse 23.
Donc Jésus, il sera un conseiller, et un conseiller merveilleux. Et dans l'Ancien Testament, les grands rois comme David avaient des conseillers. Et David avait un en particulier.
Ahithophel.
qui était tellement sage que sa parole était considérée comme la parole de Dieu.
Right. And even today, presidents and prime ministers, well, what do they have? They have cabinets of ministers and advisors who give them advice and who share their wisdom on specific areas of rule.
Et même les présidents et les premiers ministres aujourd'hui, ils ont des conseillers, des ministères qui leur donnent des conseils.
Jesus won't need advisors because he is the wonderful counselor. And this is important for us to realize, even as Christians under his rule, because we kind of like to give Jesus advice on how he should do things in our lives, don't we?
Mais Jésus n'a pas besoin de conseiller parce qu'il est le conseiller merveilleux. Et c'est important pour nous de le savoir parce que souvent on a envie de donner Jésus des conseils sur comment agir dans nos vies.
We don't go out and say, hey Jesus, do this, do that for me, I want it done this way. But sometimes in the way we pray, we hint of how Jesus needs to serve us.
Et on ne dit pas directement, hey Jésus, si tu pouvais faire ça, ce serait super. Mais dans nos prières, on lui demande parfois de faire des choses d'une certaine manière.
Now don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong to pray to God and to pray to Jesus and say, please, help me with this. Please do this for me. Please, I just don't know how to cope with this. We call that intercessory prayer, and that's wonderful. And we see it happen in the Bible often.
Il y a rien de mauvais à aller vers Dieu et demander j'ai besoin d'aide avec ça ou s'il te plaît fais ça. C'est la prière en what was the word?
D'intercession.
C'est la prière d'intercession et on le voit dans la Bible.
But sometimes we pray and we ask for help as if we knew what he needed to do to make things better for us.
Mais parfois, quand on prie, on lui parle comme si nous on savait mieux que lui qu'est-ce qui est bien pour nous.
And from time to time, instead of telling him what he should do for us, we sometimes just need to say help.
Et souvent, au lieu de lui dire ce qu'il doit faire pour nous, on devrait juste dire au secours.
And we need to realize that Jesus knows better than us what his plan is for your life.
Et on doit réaliser que Jésus, il sait mieux que nous quelles sont les bonnes choses pour nous et pour notre vie.
But it's a wonderful news that we have it's great news that we have a wonderful counselor under his reign. And it reminds me of the story of Solomon, who was a wise king.
Donc c'est une chose merveilleuse d'avoir un conseiller merveilleux. Et ça nous rappelle l'histoire de Solomon qui était un roi très sage.
You guys probably heard about Solomon and his great wisdom. Well, there was a foreign queen who visited Solomon, right? Because she heard about his wisdom and thought, well, I want to see if he really is as wise as I've heard about. And so she goes and visits him and asks him questions about all sorts of things in life. And after he responds to his questions, well, she's just stunned by his wisdom and says the following, but I'll let Catherine translate it for you.
Donc vous connaissez sûrement l'histoire de Solomon, le roi très très sage, et une grande reine qui est venue lui rendre visite, qui voulait entendre de sa sagesse. Et quand il a fini de parler, elle est complètement éblouie et étonnée devant ce qu'il a dit.
And she says, and you can read this in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8 and 9, and she says, how happy to Solomon your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness.
Et on le voit dans 1 Roi chapitre 10 verset
8 et 9.
Heureux tes hommes, heureux tes serviteurs, puisqu'ils sont constamment devant toi et peuvent bénéficier de ta sagesse. Béni soit l'Éternel, ton Dieu, qui t'a choisi pour te placer sur le trône d'Israël. C'est parce que l'Éternel aime éternellement Israël qu'il t'a établi roi pour que tu exerces le droit et la justice.
Maybe you're here and sitting and thinking, look, I never know what to do. I can't plan for tomorrow, let alone my whole life. I need wisdom and guidance.
Peut-être que vous êtes là ce soir et vous vous dites, j'arrive même pas à planifier ce qui va se passer demain, et même pas à penser à comment planifier ma vie. J'ai besoin de sagesse et qu'on me guide.
Well, Christ is the wise ruler guiding all those under his reign. And you can find hope in the birth of this wonderful counselor.
Jésus est celui qui règne avec sagesse et vous pouvez trouver l'espérance dans ce conseiller merveilleux.
But he's also mighty God. You see, it's wonderful to have wise plans, but if you're not strong enough, tyrants will win in the end, won't they?
Mais il est aussi le Dieu puissant. C'est très bien d'être sage, mais si vous n'avez pas de force, vous ne pouvez pas vous battre.
See, we kind of feel like this world is dominated by bullies and tyrants and dictators, don't we?
Souvent, on a l'impression que ce monde est dominé par des tyrans et des dictateurs.
And if Jesus is going to bring about any rule, well, he needs to be strong.
Et si Jésus va amener son règne, il a besoin d'être fort.
And we forget that Jesus is strong, because when we read the gospel, we see him as meek and lowly.
Et on oublie que Jésus est fort, parce que quand on lit les évangiles, on voit Jésus comme un homme faible.
We see his soft side, if I can put it that way.
On voit son côté doux.
But we forget that Jesus, who allows himself to die on the cross, is also the mighty God who raises himself from the dead.
Mais on oublie que Jésus, qui s'est laissé clouer sur la croix, est aussi le Dieu qui s'est ressuscité de la mort.
He has the power to overthrow all the tyrants of this world.
Il a le pouvoir de dominer sur tous les tyrans de ce monde.
So, this is an encouragement for us who are weak.
Donc c'est un encouragement pour nous dans nos faiblesses.
Because quite often, as a church in the city center, we kind of wonder how are we going to affect any change? How are we going to change people's hearts? How are we going to proclaim the gospel in such a way that people will listen and hear and be convicted by it?
Parfois, en tant qu'église au centre-ville, on se demande mais comment est-ce qu'on va faire pour amener ce message envers les gens?
And how can sharing the gospel change lives?
Et comment est-ce que l'évangélisation, le partage de l'évangile peut changer les vies?
Well, the only reason is because Jesus is mighty God.
La seule raison, c'est parce que Jésus est le Dieu puissant.
And through gospel proclamation, he's at work in his power and in his strength to bring that gospel home to people.
Et à travers la proclamation de l'évangile, il travaille et il a le pouvoir pour mener les gens vers lui.
And we can find hope in the birth of our mighty God, who can do more than we can understand.
Et on peut trouver l'espérance dans la naissance de ce Dieu puissant qui peut faire plus que ce qu'on peut imaginer.
So he's our wonderful counselor full of wisdom. He's our mighty God full of strength. But he's also an everlasting father. It's kind of paradoxical, isn't it, to think of the Son as a father?
Donc il est notre merveilleux conseiller rempli de sagesse, il est aussi notre Dieu puissant rempli de force, mais il est aussi notre Père éternel, et c'est assez paradoxal, contradictoire de penser au Fils comme le Père.
But, if you think about it, this just means that Jesus cares for his people like a father cares for his children.
Mais si vous y pensez, ça veut juste dire que Jésus s'occupe de son peuple comme un père s'occupe de ses enfants.
This is a gift for those who don't have a father or mother or someone to care for them.
C'est un cadeau pour les personnes qui n'ont pas de père ou de mère d'avoir Jésus pour s'occuper d'eux.
And there are so many people like that in our world.
Et il y a beaucoup de gens dans le monde comme ça.
And in fact, sometimes having parents doesn't even guarantee that you will be cared for.
Et même parfois, le fait d'avoir des parents ne va pas forcément dire qu'on va s'occuper de toi.
But under Christ's government, no one will be overlooked, no one will be neglected. Everyone will have a father in the Son.
Mais dans le royaume de Jésus, personne ne sera négligé ou oublié. Tout le monde aura un père dans le Fils.
Sorry. We can find hope in this everlasting Father.
On peut trouver de l'espérance dans ce Père éternel.
And finally, we read that he's the Prince of Peace.
Et dernièrement, on dit qu'il est le Prince de la Paix.
So when we use the word peace, two things come to mind, don't they?
Quand on parle de la paix, il y a deux choses qui nous viennent à l'esprit.
First is probably a scenery that oozes tranquility, and it'll be different for different people. For some of us, it's the ocean on a calm day. For some of us, it's the mountain on a summer afternoon, with the birds chirping in the air, and for others, it's a meadow in the forest.
Quand on pense à la paix, on peut avoir une image d'un paysage paisible à la mer ou dans les montagnes.
And so when we think of peace, we think of this. And secondly, another way we think of peace is probably the way we think of when we think. I said think way too much. Another way we see peace is like the armistice signed on November 11th in 19 something.
Une autre manière dont on pense à la paix, c'est quand on a signé l'armistice en 1918.
We see peace as the end of conflict.
La paix, c'est la fin du conflit.
So peace is a state of tranquility and also the end of conflict. But for the Bible, when the Bible uses it, when authors of the Bible use it, it's also something so much more deep than something deeper.
Donc la paix, c'est la tranquillité et la fin du conflit. Mais quand la Bible parle de la paix, c'est quelque chose de plus profond.
It means wholeness or fullness.
C'est le fait d'être complet.
It means well-being. Think of well-being like being at a spa.
C'est le bien-être.
It means freedom from anxiety.
C'est être libre de l'anxiété.
It means this feeling of accomplishment and completeness that you get from doing something like running a half marathon.
C'est le sentiment d'accomplissement et de satisfaction comme quand on finit de courir un marathon.
See, this inner peace, we look for it, don't we? In things like yoga and relaxation techniques, breathing techniques. We find it in running or sports sometimes, and in all sorts of different things. We have our ways for looking for inner peace.
Et souvent on cherche cette paix intérieure, souvent dans le sport, en faisant du yoga.
And that's good, because sometimes they do provide a measure of it.
Et c'est pas une mauvaise chose, parfois ça nous donne de la paix.
But we'll come to find that peace that yoga, sports, or relaxation techniques can bring are flimsy compared to the peace that the prince provides.
Mais cette paix qui vient à travers le yoga ou le sport, c'est une paix qui est petite comparée à la paix que Dieu pourvoit.
And we find wholeness, completeness, this sense of accomplishment and freedom from anxiety, and the one who is most at peace with himself and with God, our Prince of Peace.
Et on trouve ce sentiment d'accomplissement et de le fait d'être complet et la paix dans la personne qui est le plus en paix avec Dieu, et c'est notre prince de paix, Jésus.
So we've seen now that Jesus, through his reign as a wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, and everlasting Father, brings about hope in a world of gloom. Now how do we apply that to our lives today?
Donc on voit que Jésus qui apporte ce règne et qui est le merveilleux conseiller, le Dieu puissant, le Père éternel et le Prince de la paix, nous amène cette espérance. Mais comment est-ce qu'on applique ça aujourd'hui?
The first way you can apply it is maybe you live today looking for hope and you feel like you haven't found it.
La première manière de le vivre, c'est peut-être qu'aujourd'hui vous cherchez cette paix mais vous avez du mal à le trouver.
Well, this is an invitation to believe in the one who can bring you hope.
Donc voici une invitation pour croire dans celui qui peut vous apporter la paix.
Or maybe you're a Christian and you kind of don't know how to share the gospel during this Christmas season.
Ou peut-être que vous êtes chrétien et vous savez pas trop comment partager l'évangile dans cette période de Noël.
Well, here you have a way in. We're told in 1 Peter 3:15 that we need to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. And in fact, when Peter writes that, he's thinking of Isaiah chapter 9 and chapter 8, because he's quoted just before that passage, a specific passage in Isaiah 8.
Mais dans 1 Pierre, Pierre nous dit qu'on a besoin d'avoir une raison, d'expliquer pourquoi on a cette espérance. Et il a cité ce passage juste avant.
Well, tell them why. Tell people why you have hope, because of this ruler.
Et vous pouvez leur dire pourquoi vous avez cette espérance à cause de ce souverain.
Maybe you have a friend who needs guidance. Tell them about the wonderful counselor. Maybe you have a friend who feels weak or oppressed. Tell them about the mighty God. Maybe you have someone who's uncared, you know someone who's just uncared for. Tell them about our everlasting Father. And maybe you need someone who just isn't free from anxiety. Well, tell them about the Prince of Peace. Christmas season is the time where people need to hear about hope.
Donc peut-être que vous avez un ami qui a besoin de conseils ou de sagesse, vous pouvez leur parler de ce merveilleux conseiller. Ou vous avez un ami qui se sent faible et vous pouvez leur parler de ce Dieu puissant. Ou un ami qui se sent abandonné et délaissé, vous pouvez leur parler de ce Père éternel. Ou... I forgot the last one.
For those who just aren't at peace.
Ou, ouais, oui, ceux qui ne ressentent pas la paix, vous pouvez leur parler de ce prince de paix, de la paix.
And the second thing is, we read in verse 22 of chapter 8 about these people living in doom and gloom and with no hope.
Et dernièrement, on a parlé de ce peuple dans les versets 22 et 23 qui vivait dans l'obscurité.
And we talked about how there was hope in the announcement of this king.
Et on a parlé de l'espérance qui apportait cette annonce du roi.
But the issue with these people is that they don't look for the right to the right place for hope.
Mais le problème avec ce peuple, c'est qu'ils ne regardent pas au bon endroit pour trouver l'espérance.
See, they were looking all around them on this earth for hope, and they didn't find it, and so they were thrust into deeper darkness.
Le problème, c'est qu'ils regardaient autour d'eux, dans la terre, pour chercher cette espérance, et ils ont été ils ont été repoussés dans des pestes ténèbres.
Have you guys ever gone hunting for fireflies? Does that exist in Bordeaux, in France?
Fireflies?
Fireflies. Does that exist where you guys come from? Raise your hand if you don't know what a firefly is. And I don't even know how to translate that in French.
I have no idea. In, it's not a luciole.
Yeah, it is, I
luciole?
Think. Yeah.
Les lucioles, les petits insectes qui brillent.
Luciole.
Luciole. Okay. Est-ce que vous connaissez les lucioles?
Oui.
See, where I grew up as a kid in Georgia, in the summer, you'd have loads of fireflies. And as the sun is setting, you could see them shining all around you, little bright lights that flash and then go off, and you go hunting for them, and you try to catch them.
Donc là où Sylvain a grandi aux États-Unis, l'été, il y avait plein de lucioles partout, et on pouvait partir à la chasse aux lucioles.
And you'd put them in a jar, and you'd, you know, laugh and giggle as the jar lights up full of these fireflies, and hopefully, if you weren't too cruel, you'll let them loose.
Et on pouvait les mettre dans un bocal et rigoler quand ils illuminent le bocal. Et si vous n'êtes pas cruel, vous les relâchez à la fin.
Today we are like kids in the gloom of the evening trying to catch fireflies.
Aujourd'hui nous sommes comme les enfants qui essayent d'attraper les lucioles le soir.
See, we look for all these different, we look to all these different places for glimmers and flashes of hope, and realize that they're just that, glimmers and flashes of hope.
On cherche un peu partout pour cette idée d'espoir, et on voit que c'est juste ça, c'est juste des idées.
The difference between us and kids is that kids, they catch fireflies for fun. We're trying to do it out of desperation for light.
La différence, c'est que les enfants, quand, en attrapant les lucioles, ils font ça pour s'amuser, mais nous, on cherche cette lumière.
Because what they are just that, small flashes of light. That might shine bright for a little moment, particularly if we cram them all together in a jar, right? But then they go out.
Parce que les lucioles, quand on les met dans un bocal, ils vont peut-être éclaircir pendant un petit moment, mais à la fin, ils vont s'éteindre.
Hope in politics, just a dim light. Hope in technological advance, another firefly, another dim light. Hope in victory for your favorite sports team, dim light. Hope in a good job, another firefly. We need to stop chasing fireflies and look to the light of the sun.
Mettre son espoir dans les politiques, c'est juste des lucioles, ou dans le sport, votre sport préféré ou votre travail, c'est que des lucioles. On a besoin de trouver cette lumière.
Look to Jesus, because he's the only hope. And the hope that we have in his reign of strength, wisdom, care, and peace will bring an end to the conflict, distress, and gloom of our day and age.
Regardez vers Jésus pour cette lumière, parce que c'est son règne de paix et de bien-être va amener la fin aux ténèbres.
Let's pray together.
Prions.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in the announcement of the birth of the Son.
Seigneur, nous te remercions pour l'espérance qu'on trouve dans l'annonce de la venue de ton Fils.
We thank you that he is our wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace for us.
Nous te remercions parce qu'il est le merveilleux conseiller, le Père éternel et le Dieu tout-puissant et le Prince de la paix pour nous.
Help us stop chasing fireflies and turn to him.
Aide-nous à arrêter de chasser après les lucioles et de regarder vers lui.
In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Au nom de Jésus. Amen.